Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the Internet podcast designed specifically for you by Army Wife Network Corps Team. This is show number 485, and I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson, and today is Monday, August 18th, 2014, and we're glad that you've decided to hang out with us tonight.
We sure are. There is always a party going on over here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, join us in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat, and we use it through Tweet Chat. So log into www.blogtalkradio.com/AWTR and open tweetchat.com/room/armywife. Besides the awesome chat and great guests, we have giveaways that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. You can also follow along at twitter.com/armywifenetwork using the hashtag armywife to participate.
That's right. And remember, it's just one Army Wife, not Army Wives. So hashtag Army Wife.
Oh, yeah, is that what I said? I should know better.
No, no, you didn't. I was just reiterating. You did awesome. So tonight's show is brought to you by your own AWN Corps Team. And we are a dedicated group of volunteers that are passionate about empowering you in this military life. You can get to know us through our personnel files on armywifenetwork.com, our Instagram with Corps Team Tuesdays, or you can follow each one of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too, because we're just like you. And also, don't forget to follow Army Wife Network as well.
That's right. Tonight on AWTR, we have Denise Daniels, www.denise.danielsparenting.com. Before we get to that, she's going to talk us through back to school and some of the stresses that can be and what it can do to us and our kids and how to best approach it and get through it. So before we get to that, though, we have some catching up to do, right, Paula?
Yep. And don't forget, we're also going to have the Me Minute.
Oh, yes. Let's do that first. Can we do that first?
The Me Minute?
Thank you for saving my behind on the whole,
no!
on the whole
no,
thing.
No, it's all good. No, it's all good. When, you know, for those that kind of listen in, you know that we rotate hosting duties and that sort of stuff, and sometimes one of us will run the switchboard while the other one does other things, and we've got Twitter going with our tweet chat, and there are a multitude of things that go on kind of behind the scenes here, and so we just all kind of help each other out, and it's a lot of fun.
Right,
so.
And I saw Me Minute, and I thought that I should be talking, so we're going to go ahead and do the Me Minute right now,
and then we'll get back and talk about the report stuff. We do the Me Minute later. We just announced that that's what our minute is.
Oh, tell me about what's going on in your life and save my behind
That's
on
right.
this one, and we'll go forward.
Well, see, that kind of throws us off because when you see Me Minute, you know, you're like, okay, but we're going to talk about me.
Right?
How
I'm like,
that?
I have a minute to talk about me.
Well, let's see. For me, I've got a really fun trip planned for next weekend. It's the upcoming Fort Knox MWR-sponsored concert with one of my absolute faves, which is Darius Rucker and Jennifer Nettles.
Oh,
Jennifer
really?
Nettles of Sugarland. Yeah. And a really fun story about that is while I was sitting at the hospital with my daughter a couple of weeks ago, it was all a family affair while we were sitting there while she was in labor, I went ahead and bought my tickets for us to go to the concert. and I just thought it was kind of fun. And I went in there and I kind of did a little tweet. Hey, I'm looking forward to the at Darius Rucker and at Jennifer Nettles concert at Knox MWR, you know, at the end of the month and that sort of stuff. And within probably a minute, maybe, that's at the top, might have been 30 seconds, I got a tweet back that said, Jennifer Nettles has favorited your tweet. And so I thought it was kind of fun, you know. So, and everybody knows
you're famous
Darius
now
Rucker.
Because you got tweeted by General. You're famous.
I know. Jeez, I'm trying to get there with all of you guys. I mean, you're Miss NASA
no,
now.
I get
so
excited. One person favorites a tweet. One person favorites a tweet. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody read it.
I know
Nettles,
it's a lot of
that ranks way cooler than any of my retweets.
I know, it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. So we've got that coming up, and then. And I didn't even think about putting this in there when we were coming up with our little notes and that sort of stuff. But, you know, talking about back to school, today was actually my son's first day back starting his junior year of college, which
Stop
is
it.
Just, oh, my gosh, it's just, it's almost heartbreaking. It's like your kid going off to kindergarten, you know? It's kind of like, wow,
well, you
he's
must
already
have had
a junior.
When you were like four, because there's no way you're old enough to have a junior in college, right?
And he's my youngest, so. But it's all good. It's all good. So, yeah, he actually started back to school today. I checked in with him earlier, and he said it was a busy day, but he had a good time. And then gearing up for a really big September for me. I'm doing a lot of traveling in September, and I'm super excited about that because I love to travel. I don't care. Put me on an airplane. Put me in a car. I don't care. I love to travel. And September so far is looking like it's going to be a pretty big travel month. At the beginning of the month.
Where are you going, Paula?
Well, I wonder. Well, I'm going to start September off with going to Indianapolis for the National FBI Citizens Academy Alumni Association Annual Conference. And, of course, anybody that follows all of my goofiness knows that I'm all about me some law enforcement and Citizens Academy and military stuff and all that kind of stuff. So I'm actually going to their national conference, which I'm very excited about going, since I'm the actual Nashville chapter alumni president. It's kind of a good thing that I go. But I'm doing that for a couple of days, and then the biggest thing, and everybody out there listening to us needs to be aware of this, AWN Fort Meade Field Exercise. Telling
right.
you what,
so,
this is going to be so much fun.
It is, because a bunch of us are going, right? So it's you and Paula and Janet, and then
right.
the crazy
Emily.
Peanut Gallery, me and Emily. We'll be there, too.
Yeah, and I think Star's planning on making an appearance.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're really excited about that. Now, I do know that registration for it will open up on September 1st. So everybody needs to kind of keep their ears and eyes out for that. You'll see it posted on our Facebook page. So make sure that you you look for that and get registered, because that is going to fill up quickly. And we are going to have a fantastic time. I'm really looking forward to that, and especially because I get to see all of you guys. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
I know. I'm so excited. Because we're all virtual, and I don't know that everybody knows that. Like, I've met Tara, and I've met Star, but I've never met Janet, I've never met Paula, and I've never met Emily. I've never met anybody else other than Tara and Star.
Yeah.
So I'm
actually
super psyched.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I don't think you're right. I don't think a lot of people realize the fact that we're spread out, you know, all over the United States, and I would say all over the world, but Emily just came back from Korea.
Emily came back.
I know, Emily came back. So she's back stateside, and so we do. There are not a lot of opportunities for us actually to meet face-to-face. And so this is a really big thing for us as a team, but it's a lot of fun. So
it really
you
is.
Know, that's
and
kinda,
don't think
kind of what's going on.
I feel like you don't. So it's at Fort Meade, but you don't have to be stationed at Fort Meade to come.
No.
Like, we want
no,
you
no,
to
no.
be there if you're stationed at Fort Meade. But there's also Aberdeen Proving Grounds. There's the Pentagon. There's Fort Eustis in Virginia. There's the Baltimore Recruiting Battalion. All of those are more than what. And anybody else that's an active spouse or a military fan or a family member. We want everybody. Like, you don't have to be Fort Meade to be a part of the field exercise.
Right, exactly. And we have had people at different field exercises that actually travel a few hours to come and hang out with us and have a lot of fun. So definitely want to look into that and keep an eye out for that. So what's up with you? Right. What's been going on in your Army wife life?
Well, so we know I've got the two littles, right? And I call one of them the Honey Badger, and she starts preschool in about 3 weeks, and she's going to start going 3 mornings a week. And she feels like she's going to high school. Like, you ask my little three-year-old, and she thinks that she's just going to own the world. I go to school, Mommy. I go to school like a big kid, because she doesn't say her L's right, so sometimes it's way cuter than it would be if she said it right. So she's going to school, and my son starts kindergarten. And I can't believe it. Like, I feel like I blinked. Like, when did that happen? How did I end up with two children that are neither babies anymore? No more babies. It's so overwhelming. Like, I don't even know how it happened. I don't even know how it happened. So, kindergarten. So, this Thursday, the kindergarten has an open house. So, we go, and we do a bus ride, and we meet his teacher, and we find the lockers. And I'm totally, totally probably more nervous than he is. I'm trying not to pass that off on him. Like, I just want him to be excited, and he's so excited about big kids school. And for better or worse, I use it as a threat. Like, you know, if you don't listen, they're not going to let you go to big kids school, which is totally a bad parenting tactic, but I've used it. So he's excited, and I'm mortified, but also excited. And I've sworn that I'm not going to cry when the bus pulls away, but I'll probably be a puddle at the end of the driveway. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So
That's
I'm cherishing
cool,
the last, like, week and a half of summer, because we've got a week and a half. So he reports for, like, full-time duty. So this weekend, my husband and I are going, well, you know, I like to use the lingo that makes sense in my head.
That's
so this
cute.
Weekend, we're going to, so when we were on Fort Riley, and we were there for a decade, we never did any of, like, the chaplain programs, strong bonds retreat, marriage retreats, family retreats, whatever they're called at your installation. We never did one. And I didn't think they'd have them here in recruiting, but they do. So this weekend, we're doing a couples retreat. My parents are going to come down and watch the kids and stay at the house with the dogs and the kids. And we're going to Dewey Beach, which is like an hour and a half away, but it's right on the ocean. It's a beautiful Hyatt. So I'm really psyched because I've never done it. I've only ever heard really great things, but I'm sort of excited to just have like an exhale moment with my husband, with our kids, like right before the school year starts up. Like, I'm just really excited to reconnect, and I'm really hoping for some good, like, not sitting in a classroom, just us time, to sort of reconnect just the two of us. So I'm really, really, really excited about doing that.
I'm excited that you guys get that opportunity. So I look forward to hearing all about it.
All of those things. I wasn't expecting all of those things as recruiters because we're such a small community spread out so geographically. Like, they do them in Boston and they do them in Baltimore, which is like an 8-hour difference because the battalion's so big. But I'm just so psyched. And I feel like we're lucky because we live closer to the beach, that they will do them closer to us because we're near a beach, so we don't have to travel
far.
Oh,
sure. Wow. Well, that's awesome. I look forward to hearing all about that.
Yeah. So anything else? Should we do a Me Minute, or should I?
No, you're going to follow. You're going to follow and do an AWN Happenings. And then we'll come back and talk about Hot Topics.
All right. We'll be right back, guys.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Welcome back to Army Wife Network and Army Wife Talk Radio. This is mine, your host, Allison Poulter, and we're going to talk about what is hot all over on AWN generally and overall on our social media. So generally hot this week, and not not in a happy or good way, but made me smile in remembering him, was the unbelievable and shocking news of Robin Williams' death that has brought the subject of substance abuse and depression absolutely to the forefront. And now his wife has revealed he was suffering from the early stages of Parkinson's disease. My grandmother also suffered from Parkinson's disease, so I know the shock that it can be to the family and just the strain on the family as you watch the toll that Parkinson's takes. So if you head on over really to any outlet at all, we pulled our link from people.com over at Army West Network about Robin Williams, so they will tweet that link. But he was such an impactful man on our community and our society, so it was a loss, I feel like, for all of us, whether you were a fan or a friend or even a family member.
That it was. But over on that was hot on AWN this week was a blog by our Loving a Soldier blogger, Rachel, and she's sharing her journey of Army marriage. I've never lived with my husband before. May seem like a strange concept, of course, to our civilian counterparts, but it is a fairly common and normal situation for military spouses. So you can go over and check out her blog and share your experiences and your perspective over at lovingasoldier.com, and you can find it over there.
That's right, because it is such a it's a much more normal thing in our world than I feel like it is in anybody else's. And she really offers a really great perspective.
Yeah, it was a great, great article.
It really was. So over on social media today, we have our recent Facebook post that stated, "I wish I knew how to blank." Sewing and relaxing seemed to top the list. What do you wish you knew how to do? I wish I knew how to, I don't remember what I said on the Facebook post, but I wish I knew how to speak a different language. I don't care what language. I just wish I knew how to speak something other than English so that I could sound really smart at a party or in an airport. Or really, that's all I care about.
Is that what you want to do? You know, I'm serious. I thought about this, and I was looking at that, and I'm just like, wow, you know, there's just not one thing that just pops into my mind. So I don't know if that's good or if that's bad. But I couldn't think of just one thing that I thought, ooh, I wish I knew how to do that. So, I don't know. I guess there's just too many of them.
You have an adventure spirit and a goal-setting mentality that you want to know how to do more than one thing. You're welcome for that. You can totally use that next time.
Okay, that's what I'll use next time. Okay, but last but not least, it is public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. So if you do have one, please send it to info@armywifenetwork.com. And tonight's PSA is Military Family Support Programming Survey. The well-being and happiness of military families is important, and when we're strong, our country is strong. We all know that fiscal constraints will impact military family support programs, but together we can advocate for our families and influence the federal budget. The Military Family Advisory Network, otherwise known as MFAN, is conducting a survey because they want to help policymakers understand which services and resources that you, our nation's military families, depend on. They'll share the survey results with leaders and decision makers, including the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission, to make sure that your voice is heard. So make sure that the military community, that includes military spouses and children, presented. A 15-minute open-ended survey that asks for your honest insight about what matters to your family. When do you need to do that? You need to do it now, and be sure to check back for the survey results in October. To take the Military Family Support Programming Survey, go to www.research.net/S/MFAN. And we'll have that link, of course, if you're listening live, it's going to be in our tweet chat, or you can also find that link on our main page at armywifenetwork.com. So that's it for our PSA, and coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's new 6 Corey bringing you the need-to-know stories. So we'll be right back.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together in the Mean Minute. This month we're going to be talking about creating your own nightlight. It turns out that when we have bright lights on at night, The autonomic part of our minds thinks it's daytime and can affect our sleep. A great way to take care of you is to create a 5-step nighttime routine. No more racing until you crumple into bed. Instead, create a few simple routines. Things like turn down the lights, have a cup of tea, turn off your electronics. Do what works for you. Create a simple list, slow down, and relax with your own personal formula to close out your day. For more tips and tools, go to simplyputtogether.com. If you would be interested in my coaching services, you can go to mariamurphycounseling.com. But in the meantime, create your own nightlight with a list of things you can do to prepare yourself for bed.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the veterans' hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy, and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave, too. Which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all, that no one visited those vets, and that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
My first week home was great. We had a party.
2 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me.
My niece was waiting for me at the airport with a sign.
There was a huge sign across my front house, and it said, "Welcome home, Megan."
They lifted me up on their shoulders. And
first week back, people just said thank you.
Now what about the second week? A new generation of veterans is coming home. Make a difference for them at WelcomeBackVeterans.org.
Brought to you by WelcomeBackVeterans.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army families. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. In our top story, the U.S. Transportation Command has put together a team to track down service members' missing vehicles. On May 1st of this year, International Auto Logistics took over the 5-year, almost $1 billion contract to ship vehicles belonging to service members around the world. Today, more than 1,000 complaints have been lodged against the company due to missing vehicles. General Paul Selva, the commander of the U.S. Transportation Command, is sending out teams worldwide to find out what's happening to these cars. These actions are being taken after a special Transcom task force trying to fix the problem visited several vehicle staging centers and determined significantly increased contract surveillance during the contract transition is necessary, according to Air Force Brigadier General Paul Goomer, the task force leader. The growing list of complaints about IAL led Transcom to form a special 12-person fusion cell team of supply chain and contracting experts to figure out ways of fixing the contractor's glitches. The site survey teams will first visit the vehicle staging facilities for about 1 week to conduct contractual oversight and gather additional data regarding contract performance, according to the announcement. Information gathered during these will help Transcom validate IAL's data and understand more fully the company's supply chain. Military Insurance USAA of San Antonio has also set up a special team of claims processors to handle claims of missing cars filed by IL customers. What I've been telling people is, give us a call and we can learn more about your situation because policies are different according to the state that you live in, said a USAA spokeswoman. In our next story, the number of military families relying on food banks for assistance is on the rise. A new survey published by Feeding America, a network of U.S. food banks, has found that one quarter of all U.S. military households utilized a food bank or food pantry in the past year. Maura Daly of Feeding America says they found in their survey that both military and non-military families are having a difficult time making ends meet. She says even though most of their clients work, they often have to make difficult choices between things like food and paying for their utilities, food and paying for transportation, food and paying for medicine or housing, she says. So these are literally choices that people have to make between eating, putting a roof over their head, and keeping the lights on. In a written statement, Pentagon spokesman Nate Christensen told NPR that the Defense Department is reviewing the survey results. But he also said that military pay and benefits compare favorably with the private sector, and if a service member has financial troubles, counseling is available. But the executive director of the National Military Family Association, a nonprofit group that supports military families, says service members are often reluctant to seek such help. That's especially the case now that the military is downsizing. People are afraid to call attention to themselves. They don't know who's getting picked to be asked to leave and who's going to get to stay and what the criteria are. And so a lot of families are just lying low. In our last story, we bring you some bus safety tips just in time for back to school. The U.S. National Safety Council offers tips for helping your child to be safe on the bus ride to and from school. On the first day of school, walk with your child to the bus stop and explain to them the right way to board and exit the bus. While waiting at the bus stop, remind your child that they should stand at least 6 feet back from the curb while waiting for the school bus and only approach the bus after it has come to a full stop and the driver has opened the door. If your child needs to cross the street, show them that crossing in front of the bus is safest and that they should walk along the sidewalk until they are at least 12 feet ahead of the bus to ensure that the driver can see them. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
I'll go back to school.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Allison Polcher.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson. Tonight, we have with us Denise Daniels, a Peabody Award-winning broadcast journalist, parenting and child development expert, and author on emotional development of children. Her books have reached more than 15 million children, and her clear, simple advice has helped parents on several national TV programs, from Oprah to The Today Show.
Denise has developed a first-of-its-kind children's brand, the Moodsters, launching in fall 2015, that is designed to help children develop their emotional intelligence.
in collaboration with renowned Yale University psychologist Dr. Mark Brackett and his team. They have developed an evidence-based curriculum that provides the essential building blocks for preschool social and emotional development. The Moodsters includes emotional intelligence toys, books, and apps. Tonight, Denise is here to talk about children and going back to school. Welcome to our show. Denise, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so honored to be asked to be a guest on your show. I just wish when I was an Army wife, this show would have been available to us, because it's just, I'm so impressed, and I just love listening to your need-to-know stories about going back to school and taking the bus, and I thought it was really interesting, because both of you, both Paula and Allison, you've both got kids going back to school, and you're kind of like bookends, because Allison's got a 3- and 5-year-old, and Paula's got a junior in college, and it's really interesting because there are so many similarities between the preschoolers and kindergarten kids and a junior in college. So I'm so glad that we're addressing this topic tonight.
Me too. Oh, it's so nice that we have the team.
We've got it all covered in the show tonight, so I want you to be rest assured that we're going to give a lot of good advice tonight. So,
I can't tell you how excited I am. We're so happy to have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight?
I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the heart of the Midwest, the tundra, and yes, and so I live here with my family. I've really lived all over the country. I am a former Army brat, and also my husband served at Fort Lewis in Seattle, Washington, and Walter Reed. So as a matter of fact, our kids were born in military hospitals, and so this is such a great, it just, when I had this opportunity, it just, it touched my heart, and I just said, I have to do this show, because I just feel that there's such a need for military spouses to talk about what's going on in their lives, and there are so many challenges that people on the outside really don't understand, and there's a little bit of a twist to getting kids ready to go back to school when you may be a single mom and you're you know, husband is deployed, or your child may be in a school with other children where there aren't any other military families. So there are some really unique issues that I think we should talk about tonight as we get into this, about how to get your kids ready to go back to school.
Absolutely. Well, Denise, tell us a little bit more about your background and how you got started in your career doing this.
Sure. Well, I started out as a pediatric oncology nurse, and so I've always had a love for working with children. That it just is a gift that I have, and I just decided that I wanted to stay in pediatrics. And then I was working with grieving children and their families, excuse me, and then decided I wanted to understand the counseling part of it, so I became a pediatric psychologist, and that was really interesting, too. I loved my work, and I realized at the time that there weren't any national organizations to support kids who were grieving and who had experienced loss, and so I founded the National Childhood Grief Institute, and this was back in the 80s, and the very first big, I won't say job, but endeavor that we had was that military moms were being deployed for the first time in American history. This was during Desert Storm. And I was working with hundreds of kids that maybe had joint custody, and then that parent had been called to duty and was going to serve over in the Gulf. And we were working with little ones who had no concept of time and didn't really understand when their special person, their loved one, was going to be coming back. And, excuse me, so we really did a lot of work with kids, and I wrote a little workbook called My Desert Storm, and Associated Press picked up that workbook, and it went all over the country, and the Pentagon took it, and we were really excited about it, because then I was able to travel to military bases all over the United States and work with families. And that was such an honor for me, because, as I said, my father had been in the military for many years. He just passed away 2 weeks ago and is going to be buried at Arlington Cemetery in October. And so I felt this responsibility or burden on my heart to do as much as I could to help military families, to serve them. And this is kind of a long-winded story. I know, and you're probably snoring and sleeping already.
Oh,
but,
no, not at all.
No, no.
But, and I always volunteered at VA centers. It was really important for me to do that and give back and honor my father in that way. And so I feel very fortunate to have experienced the things that I've experienced over the years. And that kind of led to a much bigger scale of helping children, because I used to be called in a lot on television shows to be able to talk about how to talk to kids about difficult subjects and high-profile cases that are in the news. I still continue to do that. So that's kind of how I got my start. And I'm still doing it now, and I love the work I do, and I think it's such important work. And my goal is to support as many moms as possible, because it's not easy raising kids today. And a lot of the parenting rules have changed. It's just a different world kids are living in. So it's exciting for me to see how great moms are and how supportive they are. And you have particular challenges when you're a military spouse. So that's why I continue to do this work, and I love it, and I'm honored to be here this evening.
Well, and you kind of feel like
you.
Oh, thank
you. Definitely.
Thank you.
Do you kind of feel like you've come full circle with the whole, you know, starting out as a military brat and being a military wife, and then kind of coming back and helping?
Yeah, I really do.
That's awesome.
And it's something that I've never forgotten. It's something that's part of who I am. Tom Brokaw wrote The Greatest Generation, and I'm a product of The Greatest Generation, and I've always felt a strong patriotic duty in whatever way I could help, and it's really been a joy for me to be able to be part of the Wounded Warriors, because I think that that's really important as well, and so I really believe that we're going to continue as we launch our products for kids, our toys and our books for children. We want to make sure that our emotional intelligence toys are getting to military families, because I think there's such a need. And, you know, I was listening earlier that a quarter of the families that are going to food banks are the U.S. military. I mean, come on, really? You know, you're doing your very best for us. And so that was a staggering statistic for me to listen to tonight. So any way we can contribute, and if I can help any way tonight on the show, then I'm just really honored to be here. So, yes, full circle. Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being such an honorable and dedicated military brat and military daughter. Your father must be very, very proud of you. And we thank him so much for his service. He contributed to a great, super amazing nation, and we can't thank him enough.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's sweet of you to say.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about what emotional intelligence is? So I like to say that my five-year-old Charlie is a genius in emotional intelligence, but I really just mean that he's very dramatic. So if you can actually tell us what it means, that would be
sure.
I'd be very grateful.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that babies are hardwired for empathy skills and emotional intelligence skills. The neural pathways are there. They're percolating. And even young babies, for example, when a baby's born and one baby's crying in the nursery and the baby next to this child starts crying, it's the very beginning stages of empathy. And empathy is a very important emotional intelligence skill. But really, emotional intelligence, or EQ, is the process by which children learn to recognize and manage their emotions. It's very simple. And we know, because we hear from kindergarten teachers, that only 20 to 30% of children are coming to school and starting kindergarten that have the necessary emotional intelligence skills to be successful in school. And that is a very frightening statistic, because we really believe that, and our research has showed this, is that that children can start learning emotional intelligence skills at a very early age. When we worked with our children at Yale and did our focus groups, we tested the children 18 months old up to 7 years old, because we believe that by the time kids get to kindergarten, It's not too late because IQs fix at birth, but EQ is something that can grow throughout a lifetime. And so we believe don't wait till the kids go to kindergarten. There's so many things you can do at home to teach little ones how to have a language for their emotions and also to be able to recognize nonverbal cues in others, which, by the way, helps with bullying. And it's kind of a bully buster is what we call it, is being able to recognize nonverbal cues in others. It's about talking about your emotions, being able to express them. Really what our program is teaching kids the fundamental of feelings. And in order to prepare your child for school, the very best thing you can do, besides teaching them the safety issues, are being able to teach them how to communicate, how to make friends, how to be tolerant, respectful, kind, persistent, delayed gratification. You know a lot. I bet your little kids probably aren't so good.
Yeah.
It's just because they're young and they lack the verbal skills to be able to talk about what they're feeling. But it sounds like your oldest is pretty dramatic and they already have those EQ skills. But, you know, it's really important to give kids a vocabulary and also to teach them, what does it look like when somebody's angry? What does it look like when they're happy? What makes you feel sad? You know, those kinds of conversations are really good to have with kids. And the more you can do that at home and create an environment in your home where kids can talk about their feelings. And as moms, we want to validate what they're feeling, even if it's something we don't approve of or we don't like. We want them to say, I know you're feeling angry because your brother took your toy. But then divert them, validate them first, and then talk about that emotion. And learning how to express their emotions in a healthy way is very important.
So that is probably one of the best things that we can do to teach our kids, whether they're, you know, kindergartners all the way up to even the college age students, is learning
Absolutely.
How to effectively communicate.
Yes.
I mean, that is
and even
really
adult.
The root. Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
The hopeful part of that is it takes a lifetime to develop these skills. Now, some little ones come into the world and they're just more innately emotional. There are some moms that say to me, oh, I have a little one that's so sensitive and maybe cries quite a bit or, you know, whatever. But and then some kids don't talk about their feelings. And sometimes, and this is one of the things I learned about being a military kid, was that my dad used to say to me, and it's ironic that I'm in this business now and this is my specialty, but my dad used to say to me, oh, you're such a good little soldier. I mean, that's the message I got because we were more stoic and, you know, and now I, you know, before my dad had a stroke, I used to say to him, you know, you always used to say that to me. You're such a good little soldier when I was young. But the fact is I probably kept my emotions inside because that's what we did back in the day. I mean, I'm like 100 years old now. My kids are all grown and married themselves. But the fact is, you know, we just didn't share our feelings. My family was demonstrative, but we were a military family. So we were just a little bit different probably than some families. And and I didn't learn till much later that the very thing that we wanted to teach our kids and should teach our kids is to be emotionally literate. And that's what the work we've done with Yale. Dr. Mark Brackett developed an acronym called the RULER, and it means recognize, understand, label, express, and regulate, because ultimately we want to teach our kids how to self-regulate, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice. I think, teach our kids and adults the same way.
But right, exactly.
You know, learning how to communicate and that sort of stuff. You know, kids are faced with a lot of challenges.
They are.
And I'm not saying that military kids are faced more, you know, with more challenges, but I think the situations are definitely unique. What should a child do, say, if they're being bullied on a playground? I mean, what's something that they can effectively do when it comes to bullying? That is such a hot topic.
It is. And a lot of the bully programs, well, first of all, let me say that bullying has not declined, which
oh,
is
no.
really scary because everybody now, I mean, it's like when we used to talk about child abuse, is it on the rise or are more people reporting it? It's kind of the same thing with bullying because
right.
nobody was talking about it before, and kids would come home and they'd be afraid to tell their parents, or they were being made fun of at school because they were different or they had a different family or a different lifestyle. And so I think that now more cases are being reported, and a lot of organizations are doing really worthwhile work, but they're preventative. They're more like a Band-Aid for bullying, whereas if you teach children the emotional intelligence skills, like just pretend a child is walking across the playground and he's coming up to confront another child, and this child has EQ skills. This kid will be able to look at those cues, nonverbal cues. Uh-oh, here's this kid. He doesn't like me. He looks angry. He's got fists. His face is red. He has an angry face. Look at his eyebrows. Look at his posture. And they would recognize I'm in trouble. And these are some of the tips, you know, that I say to kids, so that kids know how to respond, right? They look the bully in the eye. They stand tall and stay calm in a difficult situation, and then they walk away. But the other piece of it is the child should say in a firm voice, I don't like what you're doing. Please do not talk to me like that. Why would you say that? And the most important thing is to get help. And teach your child when and how they should ask for help. I mean, kids don't know. Who can we go to? The playground attendant, their teacher, their parents. I mean, how can they get help from a trusting, caring adult? And then how to ask for it. And that's to say, I've been bullied, or there's a child that, you know, a kid that's calling me names in the playground, or they're roughing me up on the way home from school, you know, and parents should look for signs because some kids don't want to talk about it, like bruised knuckles or their clothes are torn, or, you know, those would be indicators as well. But the other thing is to really encourage your children, you know, when they go to school, to make friends with other children. There's support in friendships, and also to support activities that your child is interested in, because that's a really good way for kids to become part of a larger group and also have support, right? But the
Pulling
most important
allies,
thing,
yeah.
Yeah, and to alert the school officials if there are problems. You know, kids don't want you to do that, but the fact is they are there to protect your child, to keep your child safe. If a kid doesn't feel safe, they're not going to go to school and be ready to learn and grow. It's just not going to happen. So now what I tell parents is, before school, when you're sitting down and talking about bus issues and safety issues, like wearing your helmet and being on a safe bike path and all of the things we talk to our kids about before they start school, sadly, we also need to have this conversation with them, that it may not happen, it probably won't happen, but if it does, they're empowered because now they know what to do. They've got a script. They know that there are people there to help them and support them, but they need to tell somebody and not be afraid to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
So as we're talking about those pillars, sort of the safety, the people of safety in the school, what do we do if we have a difficult teacher, and what is the best way to communicate with the teacher so that we're all on the same page in the best interest of our
right.
student? And we do have to take a break, so we'll start
okay.
and we can come back to it if we need to. But what are the best ways to deal with someone who probably has our kids' best interest at heart, but we don't communicate the same way, so we may see them as difficult? And how can
right.
we best communicate with those teachers?
And I think that's a really great question, and a very important and timely question. I think in the beginning of the school year, and some schools have already started, it's important to get in there and ask the teacher how they would like to be communicated with, that you can relay information. Some teachers like phone calls. Some teachers need, you know, like to use the internet, whatever way that the teacher would like to communicate. And even going in there and being supportive of of him or her and saying, you know, how best can I communicate with you? What are you most comfortable with? That shows that you're part of the same team, because you don't want to circle the wagons and shoot each other, because you're on your child's team, and that's a powerful team. And you can provide really helpful information for that teacher, so that teacher knows your child and knows their learning styles and knows about a parent being deployed or any problems that may be going on or challenges at home. Those should always be communicated to the teacher, because that way they can understand your child more easily. And so communication is the key. And if you establish that early on, then you will get your child off on the right foot.
Amen. Okay, so we have to take a quick break. Don't forget, the AWN Core team has some super fun stuff going on over on Twitter, over on TweetChat, hashtag Army Wife Network, or twitter.com/Army Wife Network. When we come back, we'll talk about the first day back to school, which I'm absolutely terrified about. But we'll talk about it when we get back. We will do a quick commercial, and we'll be right back.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for coming back with us. We are talking tonight with Denise Daniels, creator of the Moodsters, about her children and going back to school. Before we went to break, we were talking about communication with teachers, sort of setting a baseline of expectation from the parent and the teacher, and how best to communicate with each other as the biggest allies of our children. So let's get right into it about the first day of school. Let's dig right in. What are some safety measures that we can go over with our kid, our child, to help the first day of school be smoother, both emotional safety and physical safety?
Well, I think if your child is starting school for the first time, like your little one is, and or going off to college or a new school or starting middle school, because lots of schools now go from elementary school and then they have middle school that's starting at sixth grade, and that's a huge transition emotionally for kids. And so you want to prepare them. You want them to be sure they know where the lockers are, where the bathrooms are, especially the little ones. They want to know where the cafeteria is, what their bus route is, or if they're walking, what the walking route is, and safety measures about talking to strangers. You know, a child that's prepared is going to feel empowered. And Mr. Rogers used to say, what's mentionable is manageable. So I've always been of the belief that you can talk about those kinds of things with kids and prepare them. Stranger danger has been out there for a while, and we want kids to always be in safe areas, crossing streets where there are patrols, again, being on safe bike routes, and also wearing their bike helmets. That's very important. And so those are kind of the things that we want to talk to our kids about when they're going back to school, as far as the safety perspective. As far as an emotional and anxiety and being anxious, you know, the lazy days of summer are gone, and a lot of kids experience the summer slide where they've been, for example, they haven't been reading, maybe they haven't been doing math, and they're not used to the structure of school. So getting kids to read 10 minutes a day before they go back to school is really helpful. Getting them up earlier in the morning and making sure that they're going to bed earlier at night so that they're not groggy when they start school. Their system is more used to it. But You know, talking about friends and talking about how, if they've been there to that school before, talking about their experience last year, and also telling them that, you know, lots of kids are feeling anxious about going back to school right now. And even teachers are a little bit nervous about going back to school. And then you can share a story about when you were in school and just tell them a time that you remember that you felt nervous about going back to school, because that kind of levels the playing field and it kind of makes kids feel like, wow, I'm not the only one. There's nothing wrong with me. It's perfectly normal to feel that way in the beginning of the school year. So really reducing anxiety by giving kids information, where will they be, who will their teacher be. If you get a list of children that will be in your child's class before school and school hasn't started yet, or even if it has, to schedule a play date so your child begins to make friendships in their classroom. And that's why sports and activities are really good ways for kids to feel like they're part of the team and they get to know people. So that's really important with our younger children too.
Are those some of the good ideas too to teach children how to deal with separation anxiety? I mean, getting them involved in other things and, you know, kind of getting their focus off that. What are some other things that can be done for that?
Do you mean separation anxiety because a parent's deployed, or are you talking about separation anxiety
both.
Just going to school?
Just going to school to begin with, because I know a lot of younger children. Now, I'll be honest here. Even when my son went away to college as a freshman, there was a little bit of anxiety even there. I mean, being away from home. Now, granted, he's only 2 hours away, but that separation anxiety for the school and even with parents being deployed.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because, it's really interesting because you would think by the time your child has gone to college, maybe your child wouldn't have that much anxiety and maybe you wouldn't have that much anxiety. But I cannot tell you how many moms I've spoken to and dads over the last couple of weeks who've been dropping their kids off at college. It's a very stressful time because it's the big launch. It's the final launch. They've graduated from high school. They're going off to college. That's a very scary time. As a parent, we wonder, have we prepared them? Have we told them everything they need to know? Are they mature enough to handle this? They're handling checkbooks and you know, living in dorms with other people. It's a huge developmental milestone, not only for your college-bound child, but also for you. And also as a parent, it's not a milestone that anybody ever talks about. We talk about when our kids go off to school in kindergarten and you're feeling like, gosh, it's a big step, right, Allison? It's a really big step. I know. And you wonder, am I going to cry? Am I going to fall apart? Well, the same thing happens. When your little guy goes off to college, the same thing is going to happen. It feels very similar. I know. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, I mean, I'm a grief counselor, and I cried when my children went off to kindergarten. And then when mine went off to college, I did the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with that because your identity changes as well. And when you have a spouse that's deployed and you're not living together, your identity changes as well. And there is a grief process that goes with that, and there's a transformation. And all of those things are scary, particularly when you have a child going off to college and the other parent's deployed. I mean, because it's hard enough when your husband goes, but then when your children go, it's a whole nother level of sadness. And in time, you settle into a routine. But I have a rule of thumb. If your child is going to college for the first time, close their bedroom door and do not go in that room for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then they get there and they call home and they say, I'm having a great time. And here you've been praying and you've been, you know, just, you know, flailing on the floor because you're so sad every time you walk through by their bedroom. But with the door closed, it really helps a lot. And then when you hear how well they're doing, then you can go in their room and clean up. So I don't know. It's just a little trick I've used with my kids,
that's
and I've
cute.
Recommended that for other moms. And the other thing is start planning visits. And we do that even with our deployed parents. You know, a lot of our little kids had parents that were overseas and serving in Germany and many different places, Iraq and Afghanistan. And little kids don't have any concept of time. And so
yeah,
what we do – no, they just don't. You know it. Exactly. And one of the things we did is we encouraged our families to put a map on the refrigerator. And I know you guys know all this stuff, and so I'm probably not the expert to tell you what to do. But back in the day, you know, when moms were being deployed for the first time, we had nothing. I mean, we were making it up as we went along because we knew time was an abstract concept for small children. And so what we did is we put maps on the refrigerator so we could show them where, you know, Daddy was or where the globe, you know, where on the globe Mommy was serving, whatever it was. And then also with our little children, we took big ribbons and we sewed buttons on all of all the way down these ribbons. And then every day, because we sewed them on loosely, every day the child could remove a button off of this ribbon. And by the time the ribbon was empty, their parent was coming home. And so that was another thing. We also encouraged our kids to start memento boxes so that they could pick a pretty box or a stuffed animal to keep in their bedroom. And then they could put colors that, you know, like drawings that they had colored for their parent that was gone. And so then and little letters and little trinkets and little mementos that they collected over the year so that when their loved one came home, they could sit down and share the box together. Because they have to go through an R&R, not rest and recuperation, but in parenting it has to be reconnecting, right? Part of that is reconnecting. It's returning and reconnecting. And it's just a really good thing to be able to plan Christmas, to plan birthday parties when, you know, their parent will be coming home. And so so that's, and nowadays you can use the internet and they make phone calls and it's
right.
It's so much different than it used to be, which is wonderful because that's so important to children. They need to stay connected to their parent that's serving.
Well, and it's so important to us too. I mean, Denise, that's how we found you. So we have a very short amount of time left, right? But I want to hear, so we want to hear about the Moosters and I want to hear a synopsis of the Moosters, and then I want you to tell me where we can send all of our listeners so that they can really get engrossed in the Moosters, what it is, what it offers, and how they can find out more.
Oh, it's great. Well, the Moosters was really created for preschoolers, but sometimes it skews a little bit older. But I was really feeling frustrated because in the grief group I was doing with kids, the first 2 weeks of the grief group, the kids didn't have a vocabulary for what they were feeling, so we'd have to teach them the whole language of feelings. So I became frustrated, and I made some little toys on my kitchen table about 30 years ago, if you can imagine. And they were really tacky, but the kids didn't care. And they were tools that would help me, help children that I was working with, learn to deal with their emotions about their parents being deployed. And so I used those toys with all of the military families I was working with. And then the State Department was sending me all over the world to work with kids in refugee camps and in third world countries and during disasters. And so I took my little toys with me, and I took them into countries where kids didn't speak the language that I spoke, and we were from different cultures and different faith beliefs, but it didn't matter. No matter where I went, no matter what country I was in or what language they spoke, all children's feelings were universal. So that was it for me. I just realized the only way I'm going to be able to teach kids and make this, you know, make a difference in the lives of kids is being able to create something that's really entertaining and really engaging and something that parents can do so it's interactive with their kids. So I've got a wonderful team of people who helped me. I never could have done this by myself. And so so I'm so fortunate. I created this wonderful little property called the Moodsters, and we have books coming out, and they're just wonderful, and the toys will be out for back to school next year, sadly, not until next year, but we'll have an app coming out also before the toys launch, which will really be important. And so we're very excited about that, and so hopefully we're talking to major retailers right now that they'll be carried in the major retail stores and the books. You know, we're talking to a publisher that's willing to publish the book. So we're very excited about that opportunity because I think teaching kids emotional intelligence skills, we can change a whole generation of kids. And it'll really help parenting and make it so much easier if little kids can talk about their feelings and share their feelings with the people they love the most in the world. So
amen.
Thank you for
Denise,
asking.
We have to, you're welcome. We're so excited about it. Can you give us a website or plug where they can, where our fans can go to get a little more connected and do some digging around?
Sure, absolutely. And anybody that writes in, I mean, my website's only been up for a week, and we've had probably, I don't know, I just can't even count how many emails we've had. So please be understanding and be patient because I try to answer each one myself. And so anyway, we're so excited, and it's DeniseDanielsParenting.com, and there's a link, and the link will go to the Moodsters, and it explains what it is and the story behind it, and that will be launching in back to school next year in 2015.
Denise, that's awesome. I could talk to you for hours, and I know Paula could too. Thank you so much for being with us
so
tonight.
Thank you so much. I love being with all of you.
Congratulations to our winners. We're just so glad that you were here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Anytime. I'd love to come on again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise.
Yes, ma'am.
Take care. God bless you all. Okay, bye-bye now.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, next week, August 25th, 2014, on the show, continuing in our children and education theme, we are featuring Pamela Breen and Joan Rooney of Tutor.com, which is at tutor.spelledout.com, so you don't want to miss it.
That's right. But in the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Catch up with one of our many bloggers sharing the journey at www.lovingasoldier.com as well.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is the Army Wives Network core team signing out. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.